Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on the road.
Welcome to the show, where we hope we can help you see what's going on out there. That's our purpose anyway. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live once again on FM 105.5 and AM 660. The Answer. I am Christopher Hart, and for at least the time being, I'm in the studio all by myself. Yeah, I threw everybody out and slammed the door and locked it. Not really. Of course, Mike is up in Lady Lake tonight giving a lecture, a speech, if it were, as it were, about football, the way it was and the way it is. But Nicholas Cicero is on the bridge. The phone lines are open at 407-774-8255. So feel free to join in at any time. In the next 2 hours, that is. Steve Gushoff of the Legal Immigrants for America is going to join us in the next hour of the show, and he's going to tell us all about the goings-on this past weekend in South Carolina, where the Tea Party held a big rally up there, and most of the candidates spoke there. And so you'll be able to get the up-close review from Steve a little bit later on in the show. In the meantime, we do have a lot to talk about, but you know, local politics, a lot of local politics type things are happening. Last night, after the show, I did go over to Grant's campaign kickoff, Grant Malloy, that is, and it was a great turnout. I want to thank everyone who was there and anyone who was there because they heard about it on the show. I double thank you, but everybody who was there really seemed to come away enthusiastic about Grant Malloy and getting him elected as a Seminole County Clerk of Court and Comptroller. But there's more going on a week from tonight in Apopka. You have the Apopka City Council Forum, and this is pretty important for you folks who live in Apopka. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this, but, you know, there's a lot of big changes that are being planned and talked about with the city of Apopka. So who you elect for the city council is going to have a great deal of a bearing on where all that goes, a great deal of effect. So if you want to find out more about the people who are running, you're invited to the Apopka City Council Forum, which is 1 week from tonight at 7 p.m., so the best thing is you can be listening to us as you drive there and then go in for the forum at the CPS, that's like CBS, but CPS Sportsplex, which is at 110 Athletes Row. That's in Apopka. CPS Sportsplex, 110 Athletes Row in Apopka. That's the city council forum. So if you're a resident of Apopka and care about what goes on in your city, here's your opportunity to be more informed about that event. And you'll have a chance to meet Aubrey Kahn. He's going to be there. That's right. And our very own Big Jim Tuna. That's right. The Big Tuna himself, Big Jim Turner, is going to be moderating the forum. So come on out. It's going to be very interesting, I'm sure. It always is when Aubrey is in the neighborhood, as you know. But Aubrey Kahn is sponsoring the forum. And if you'd like to find out more about it, just call us right here at 407-774-8255, and we'll hook you up with the right people in terms of if you want to be a sponsor as well. Okay. The event last night for Grant was a great event. Marianne Morse has thrown her weight behind him, and that's pretty powerful stuff right there. But the guy's got what it takes for the job, so I hope you folks in Seminole County will get behind Grant. I know I'm going to do what I can for him, being an Orange County resident, but it's going to be in August. It'll be a primary, but the primary in this type of election pretty much determines the outcome. Okay, and once again, speaking of primaries, you got the primary coming up here in the state of Florida for the presidential campaign on March the 15th. Now, if you want to vote in that primary on either side, you have to be in that party. I've talked about this a little bit before, and I'll keep reminding you periodically until we get past the point where you can do anything about it, which is February 15th or February 15th. All right, so February 15th is the cutoff day for changing your registration or registering, if you haven't registered at all, to vote in the presidential primary. And if you want to vote for one of the Democratic candidates, you got to be registered as a Democrat. If you want to vote for the Republican candidates, one of them, you have to be a Republican. And I know a number of people out there are a lot more interested in the Republican side of things. And if you're not, if you're an independent or anything but Republican, you will not be able to vote for any of the Republican candidates. And if you're not, matter of fact, if you're not registered as a Democrat or a Republican, you won't even get the invite to come down and vote because there won't be anybody to vote for. So you'll have to wait until the general election. That's one of the disadvantages of a closed primary state. The advantage is, the idea is that only members of a given party will be able to choose that party's nominee. But you can change back as soon as the primary is over. But February 15th is the cutoff day. So if you're not in the party by that time, you're going to be out of the party. You won't be able to have a party. All right. But anyway, you'll be able to see what's going on. Talking about see what's going on, there's a couple of new popping polls. And popping in the sense that they make your eyes pop. One on the Democratic side and one on the Republican side. The one on the Republican side, guess who? That's right. Donald Trump is up huge in the state of Florida, according to Florida Atlantic University. Their poll conducted the results just out today. Trump is at, get this, talk about ceilings crashing through the glass ceiling. Trump, 48. I mean, three more points, and it doesn't matter, right? 48, Ted Cruz, 16. Now, the good news for Cruz is he is up 6 points since November in this poll. The bad news is Trump is up 12 in the same poll. Bad news for Rubio because he is down 7 to 11. Jeb is in a neck-and-neck tie now with him because he's up 1 to 10. And Ben Carson trails after that. But this is an astounding poll and certainly a key state. And it shows that not only is his support, that being Trump, of course, strong in the state of Florida, but it is growing. And it appears to be doing likewise in a number of other states. He has stabilized in some states, but stabilized well in the lead. Now, many of these states are not winner-take-all states like the state of Florida. He doesn't have to have 51 to get all the delegates. All he has to do is win by one percentage point over whoever's second, and it could be 21 to 20. But he will take all the delegates here in the state of Florida. That's not true in most of the other states. So his margin of victory in those other states is more consequential if it is larger or smaller. It'll actually have an effect on the number of delegates he gets. However, not so in the state of Florida. The other poppin' poll is on the Democrat side, where it shows Bernie Sanders with a huge lead in New Hampshire. Now, it's pretty, let's just say, accepted rule of thumb right now that Bernie Sanders is comfortably in the lead in New Hampshire in most all of the polls. However, in this one, he's up by 27 points at 60 to 33. And that shows action for him up 10 and her down 7 since the last time. And this is a CNN New Hampshire poll. And however, when it comes to the nationwide poll, Hillary is still comfortably in the lead. But you see the same momentum switch or momentum pattern, if you will, in the Monmouth nationwide poll, Democrats. It is Hillary 52, Bernie 37. But that's Bernie's up 11. since the last time this poll was taken, and Hillary is down 7. So that's, in each of these polls, you got a 17 and an 18-point difference, and all in favor of Bernie Sanders, and nothing went to Marty O'Malley. He's not even an afterthought at this time. He hasn't even made enough of an impression to be heartburn, so he's gone. But this does show that there is clearly momentum, at least in the Northeast. That's the good news for Bernie. The bad news for Bernie is Hillary smokes him when it comes to minority voters, and that would include Latinos and blacks and older people. People who see experience as more important as something new are going for Hillary. So when you get out of that Northeast first couple of rounds, Hillary could make a comeback and be the comeback girl, the comeback kitty, the comeback lass, as it were. And because, of course, Bill Clinton was known as the comeback kid, because I believe he lost both of those in his first go round, and then was able to go down in the South and sweep on through and roll right on into the convention. And the rest, of course, as you know, is history. So don't count old Hill's out yet. Now, Hill's bigger problem, as we've talked about on the show, is not political. It's legal, and it's the FBI. And there are some now 150 FBI agents looking into her dirty laundry. And ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, it's never a comfortable feeling, nor is it a good thing when 150 federal agents are snooping around, you know, in your dresser drawers, so to speak. And so she is, you know, in for a troubled primary season, regardless of what happens between she and Bernie Sanders, which is why you got Joe Biden over practically panting now at the White House at the opportunity to get back into this thing as the savior, as it were, for the Democratic Party. As I said last night, I believe that the endorsement that Donald Trump received from Sarah Palin is, I don't want to go as far as to say we're at the nails in the coffin stage yet, but I believe that they're putting the bedding in the coffin right now, you know, the linens and the pillows and things, and getting it ready. Because if his momentum continues in this direction, contrary to a lot of popular belief, and I'm not predicting this, but I'm certainly saying that it is quite possible that we have come this far, all right, that this could be over very quickly, and that we're on looking toward the general election, and on both sides, and it would not be, I don't think, Bernie Sanders. But of course, that's the great thing about politics. It's the greatest of all sports, because the most of all is at stake. And so that's why we watch it closely and do our best to understand it and convey our better understanding to you. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the GOP and the dangerous man who may just ruin the whole doggone thing. That's right. You know who he is. That's right. Moby Dick. He's going to go around splashing around in the ocean and mess everything up, and everybody's all upset and all uptight about it. Well, we'll just try to unwind it all a little bit. That's what we do here on the American Adversaries during Drive Time Prime Time on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer. And I will be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, 407-774-8255. There are those voices out there who are saying that we are venturing into a danger zone. Dangerous man is afoot. Are you one of those folks? Well, let me try to put your fears at ease. But first, let me just say, The Pentagon announced today that they have called off, the Coast Guard announced they have called off the search for the 12 Marines that went down when those two helicopters collided several days ago this past week in a training exercise off of Hawaii. The chances of them being found were very remote, and there were no remains found. At this time, they did find some life rafts, but no Marines. So please say a prayer for those souls and their families and friends, because there are some really broken hearts tonight, as you know. And so as a tribute to them, we're going to finish up the show tonight with the Marine hymn. And, it's a terrible tragedy. And it's just something as a reminder that even when our troops and Marines and Coast Guard and Air Force and Navy aren't deployed, they are still at risk, because just training is very dangerous. Okay, so is the Republican Party in the danger zone? Well, there are a lot of voices out there who seem to think so. I want to focus on an article by a liberal, but this liberal, I think, expresses the sentiments of a number of establishment types, and I dare say even non-establishment types, perhaps for different reasons, but I think they're all in the same place. First of all, they don't seem to understand what is driving the Trump phenomena. They still seem to be a bit at a loss for it. To me, it's just basic politics. The guy is just outdoing these other politicians at their own game. It's simple. But to them, it seems complex. But then, of course, they're all the high-priced lawyers who went to all the high-priced schools. And me, I'm just I was a philosophy professor down here at UCF, studied a little political science, and now I'm a carpenter. So what do I know about it? But Donald Trump seems to know about something about it, because he's making it work, and he's making it work big time. And I'm here to tell you it's because he is practicing basics in politics, fundamental things that in marketing. It's all about the same thing, selling a product or an idea, or in this case, a person. And, of course, the person he is selling is himself. And he's going about it very methodically and very expertly. And it all starts with his message. And his message is just as basic and as pure and as clear as it can, as today without the sun. Without the sun. Without the clouds. Okay? It was just, we're going to make America great again. You start from that. All right? It's very Reagan-esque. And then he hits it over and over again with the fundamentals. I'm going to seal the border. I'm going to do something about immigration. And what is that? Of course, a lingering, nagging problem that nobody else has been able to do anything about. Nobody has either been able to, or perhaps more likely, willing to do anything about it. This man has now put his entire reputation at stake over building a wall. And you want to tell me he ain't going to build a wall? He going to build a wall. He going to build a big, beautiful wall. He will build a wall. Two, he talks about building our military might back up, and we all know it desperately needs to be built back up. He harps on that over and over and over again. He talks about creating jobs, and he's got a plan to do it, but better yet, he knows that he can't have all the answers, so he's going to get people around him who do have answers to things that he doesn't have them to. What a novel idea. A man who doesn't think he has all the answers and a detailed plan. And then he talks about doing something about the Islamic State and terrorism. And he recognizes it for what it is. He calls it out. And not only does he call out the terrorists, but he calls out the people who say that they're misrepresenting their religion Well, if so, get up off your doggone butts and do something about it, is what this man is saying in his own way. And yet, for some reason, the brilliant minds can't see that this is what the American public wants. Why is that so difficult to see, Mr. B? Oh, no, Donald Trump, he's a dangerous man. Why, he's an authoritarian and a progressive. Well, let me tell you something. If he can get the wall built, if he can get the military rebuilt, and if he can get ISIS destroyed and the economy back on track by doing it the way he says he's going to do it, he is going to be neither an authoritarian nor a progressive. He's going to be a man who gets the damn job done. And yes, he is talking about working with Congress and saying, no, he doesn't want to do it. He will not do it the way Barack Obama is doing it. Would you please just listen? And then you might learn or something. But no, he can't do that. Because see, he's not pure. He's not pure. So which among us is a Puritan? It sure ain't you there, good buddy. And it ain't none of us. We're all sinners. The Lord works in mysterious ways, and he gives us people sometimes who may not look so perfect on the outside, but they'll get his job done. And I believe that's what's happening here. We'll talk about it more on the other side. If you got a view on it, 407-774-8255 is still the number, always will be. And don't forget, please join the American Adversaries Army. You can do that by going to our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and click on over to the recruiting office, and you can do it right there. It just takes a matter of minutes. And speaking of a matter of minutes, all right, thank you, Sam Houston. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got me, Christopher Hart, until 6 o'clock. Steve Gushaw is going to be sitting in then, but of course, you can join us at any time. 407-774-8255 is the number. Let me go back to this article by Bill Press of he's with the Tribune Company, and he's admittedly a liberal, and he says, with Trump or Cruz, Republican Party done. Of course, the first question that would pop into my mind is, well, yeah, what has the Republican Party done for Republicans, for conservatives lately? That's right, not too much, has it? And of course, their excuse is always, well, we need more. We need more. You got to give us more. You got to give. And Paul Ryan has now given us how did he put it? A one heck of a contrast. Well, I don't know about you, but I can't do a doggone thing with my one heck of a contrast. And if these guys needed to go through some sort of grand, ritual, if you will, in order to produce a contrast with liberals and liberalism, they're not on their game, and they're not up to the league they're playing in. Let's just put it that way. That they're in way over their heads. But I don't think it's that. I think that they're just cozy. They're all cozy. Now, Bill Press points out in his article that as a young Democrat, he was still proud to work for a Republican because, as he puts it, this socially moderate, fiscally conservative party actually delivered on many important issues. President Eisenhower, for example, built the federal highway system, established the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge, and warned against the military-industrial complex. Yeah, all that makes liberals very happy. Richard Nixon delivered the entire Environmental Protection Agency and the Clean Air Act and open relations with China. Ronald Reagan granted amnesty to 3.2 million illegal immigrants. George H.W. Bush signed the Americans with Disabilities Act and repudiated the NRA. George W. Bush raised the minimum wage and added prescription drug benefits to Medicare. Now you begin to see why this Democrat is worried that Donald Trump may destroy the Republican Party. Because this Republican Party that he describes has been pretty good to Democrats, hasn't it? It sure enough has been. I mean, with the exception of the federal highway system, I believe we could do without all the rest of this nonsense. And by the way, Ronald Reagan lamented and greatly regretted signing that immigration bill. granting the amnesty, because he was promised too. Yeah, he was promised by all those grand voices in Congress. Yeah, that wall was going to get built. That border was going to get secured. But, of course, it did not. He says, but that's not the case today. Look at the 2016 GOP primary. Riding a wave of anti-Washington sentiment, outriders Donald Trump and Ted Cruz dominate the field, despite the fact that even most GOP strategists agree that Trump and Cruz are so far out of the mainstream that were either one to become the nominee, the Republican Party would get wiped out, lose the White House and Senate, and maybe even the House, and get this, cease to be a real political force. Now, once again, this is a Democrat lamenting this, right? And predicting this huge downfall for Republicans. You think the guy would be elated? Let's see. He goes on to say, when it comes to Trump, he's no liberal, but he's no conservative either. Ted Cruz, on the other hand, is definitely a conservative. But even if Americans have veered right, which I strongly dispute, they are nowhere near as far right as Cruz, Mr. Tea Party himself. If they want to win in 2016 and not just score points, Republican leaders need to do two things. First, convene an old-fashioned smoke-filled room where all other wannabes agree to drop out and get behind one candidate against Trump or Cruz. Second, stop saying they'd vote for Trump or Cruz as the party's standard bearer and vow to block them at the convention if necessary. In other words, Republican leaders need to do whatever it takes to prevent Trump or Cruz from getting the nomination. Otherwise, they can kiss the Republican Party goodbye. Well, let me tell you something. A lot of us just soon kiss this Republican Party goodbye, and the sooner we do it, the better. Right? You know, we need, Jerry Shepard called the show yesterday with, it was a great point. And in essence, what he was saying is that Donald Trump would bring a different mindset to Washington, D.C. And if there is any place on the face of the continental United States, and throw in Alaska, Hawaii, and all of our protectorates, where we need a different mindset, it's Washington, D.C. Now, we could use a different mindset in a few other places, too. All right, you can imagine your own. But we definitely need a different mindset in Washington, D.C. And if that is going to be upsetting, literally and figuratively, to the Republican Party and or the Democratic Party, well, that's so much better. You know, every now and then, I believe it was Jefferson, it might have been Franklin, said, you need to spill a little blood, you know, to preserve the democracy. Well, we can do that either literally or we can do it figuratively. And I'm willing to spill a little of the blood of the Republican Party to save the nation. And you save the nation by doing this. You secure the border. You do something about illegal immigration. You rebuild the military. You annihilate ISIS. And you get the gall-dang economy up and running again. Thank you very much. If you don't do that, nothing else matters. At the end of the day, the Constitution is, yes, a piece of paper. It has to have all of those other things to back it up. And that's what we want done. That's what we need done. And the person that can get it done, that we believe most likely to, I think, is going to be elected president. Tim, thank you for holding. I appreciate you being out there. Thanks.
All right, Chris.
Howdy. Thanks for calling.
You know, Bill Press, if I'm not mistaken, is that clown far lefty that was on crossfire with Buchanan years ago?
He is, but the reason why I brought him up is because he is a liberal. But also because this is an argument that a lot of so-called conservatives are making. George Will has announced that he would support a third-party candidate should Trump or Cruz get the nomination.
Oh, yeah. Well, his old lady works for
go ahead.
You know, we ought to call these rhino people and the Republicans what they are. Like, I was listening to Speaker of the House, Paul Rhino.
Yeah.
And that's what I call him.
That's
Paul
good
Rhino. He's gonna do all this stuff next year. He's going to change all this stuff.
I know. Yeah, the great procrastinator.
Yeah, and all I'm so sick of these people. Like, you know, Nikki Haley was a Tea Party person, and The other one, Flake, from Arizona, he was another Tea Party.
Jeff Flake.
Got him elected, and then as soon as they get elected, they turn around and stab you in the back, you know?
That's right. By the way, Jeff Flake was one of the member of the Gang of Eight.
They had a Tea Party, yeah.
Yeah, well, he was on that immigration thing with Rubio, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, yeah. And Jeff Flake teamed up with Schumer and Menendez and some the other Democrats.
Well, we ought to have somebody call these people out, like when they talk about these undocumented illegal aliens, they just call them undocumented. Democrats.
Yeah, well, they should.
That's what they are. I mean, they're really illegal Democrats coming in. That's what they're, you know, that's why they want them.
Yeah.
But they had that idiot that I think he's crazy now. I think he's gone over to Ben. But Glenn Beck was on there trying to say that Palin and the patron saint of conservatism, Reaganism, Phyllis Schlafly, Coulter, they're all out to lunch and Trump's this and that because, you know, he hates Trump.
Yeah.
But I just wonder, I was just going to say, the thing I called about was Cruz. Last time I called, I said that, I think his name is Rafael Tubbs Eduardo Cruz. Is that his name?
Rafael Cruz, Ted Cruz's father.
I threw the Tubbs in for Miami.
Okay, Vice. All right. Okay. Oh, yeah, right. I got you. It went over my head there for a second. Yeah,
Rafael Eduardo Cruz. Anyway, I said that he looked like a used car salesman. That's why he would have trouble in, you know, getting elected.
Ted himself,
and
yeah.
And I said that, yeah. Well,
yeah, I remember that,
I'm
yes.
flipping through the channels, okay?
Yeah.
And I come across this guy, and he nailed it. He said, if you were casting a vampire movie, and you went to Central Casting, and you wanted a smiling vampire for a vampire movie, maybe a pallbearer. You could put some white makeup on Cruz,
yeah.
A little blood on his lip,
yeah.
You know, and then have him smiling, and he would be the perfect-looking vampire. That's what he looks like.
Well, you know, he does have a distinctive features that would lend themselves to that, and it wouldn't take a lot of white makeup to get him there either. He's got a pretty pasty complexion to start with.
I'm just kidding. This is a fascinating.
I know, but it is. Yeah. But you know, all of these things come into play. They do, and we laugh about them and try to trivialize them. But to some people out there, that's going to make a difference.
Yeah.
And
you got to remember, most people have voted for the guy with the best hair up until Romney.
Yeah.
It was always the guy with the best hair, the most telegenic, we got a guy that looks like a vampire against Biden,
yeah.
Who's probably going to be the nominee, I think.
Yeah.
So you got a guy with bad teeth, hair plugs, you know, and you're going up against crazy Joe Biden or with crazy Bernie Sanders or whoever is going to be running with him.
Right, yeah.
And a lot of people aren't like, you know, us that follow this.
That's right.
They say,
that's right.
Well, that guy looks like a vampire. And then they see Trump, and as funny as they may make fun of him or look at him, but they say, oh, yeah, he's a star from that TV show, you know, whatever.
And he always dresses in a coat and tie. He's like Reagan like that. It presents himself as a, you know, in charge, businessman, you know, a professional.
Well, the way I look at it is quite simply, because I was for Trump originally, the way I look at it is if Trump gets half of what he wants passed through.
We'd be awful happy, wouldn't we?
That's going to be 100% more than any of these other people get because they don't have the guts to go down in the mud and fight with Hillary and the Clinton Foundation. Bring up the Orgy Island and Jeffrey the pedophile and all this stuff.
Right.
None of them have the guts to do that, and that's how you're going to have to beat her.
Right. Yeah, I believe you're exactly right. Yeah, he will play to win and do whatever it takes to win, and that's how you win in politics.
Exactly.
You know, and sometimes you got to give the other side a little taste of their own medicine or they will not respect you, and that's what they will get from Donald Trump. Thanks, Tim. I appreciate you being out there, and I do remember that comment, and I still say he has a face of a judge. I'd love to see Ted Cruz on the Supreme Court. I think really that is it would be his calling in life. But, you know, he wants to be president, and I do think he would be a whole heap better than what we got now. And he would be, I believe, better than most of the other Republican candidates. But the thing is, just history seems to be favoring Trump, and Trump knows how to do this without ever having done it. He knows how to do this because he knows how to sell. And that, at the end of the day, is what you're doing in politics. You're selling. You're selling yourself or you're selling your ideas. And take Jeb Bush, for instance. Capable governor. Absolutely. Very capable governor. Is he very capable at selling himself and his ideas? No. He's a bumbling, you know, he's just a bumbler. And he just doesn't really know how to do it. He doesn't know all the subtleties, all the little things that make or break a deal. And speaking of a deal, I mean, what is Trump at the end of the day? He's a deal maker. Is he going to make deals? Yeah, he's going to make deals. He's going to make, in his opinion, the best deals. We shall see if he gets the chance. But to say that he's going to come in and do what Barack Obama has done and be a dictator president and be a danger to the Constitution and the American way of life or the Republican Party is just nonsense. That shows a total lack of understanding about the system that we have. We're limping. We're weak and we're hurt, but this system will survive, and let me tell you why. I've said this on the show before, so some of you have already heard this. Please bear with me. We have many new listeners, and they're coming in all the time, and thank you for it. We really appreciate it. But the thing, now I've lost my train of thought. Because I've got to take a break. All right, let's go ahead and take the break. When we come back, I'll pick up where I left off. And don't forget, you're listening to The American Adversaries. 407-774-8255 is the number. Please stay with me.
Send in the clown.
Oh, Steve, I forgot to tell you, if you're going to sit in that chair, you have to sing along with the bump music here.
Chris, one question. Is that the new national anthem for the Democratic Party or the Republican Party? I'm not sure. Or are they both doing
it? It's a one-size-fits-all.
One-size-fits-all, or most.
Exactly. That, of course, is Steve Gushov of Legal Immigrants for America. You can find out more about Legal Immigrants for America and join us there by going to GoLifa.com. We're going to be talking all during the next hour with Steve, and of course he can chime in on what I'm talking about. I'm sorry, I was startled when I looked at the clock. I thought we were up against a hard break. It was actually a soft break, so it kind of threw me off my train of thought. But what I was getting ready to say is, don't worry, this country will survive Barack Obama. Weakened, yes. A little bit bloodied and such, yes. But you have to understand that our founding fathers designed this particular adversarial form of government with guys like Barack Obama in mind, or if you want to insert anybody else's name, Donald Trump. It will survive. It has checks and balances. They are being tested greatly right now, but they will survive. That's my opinion, because the Constitution wasn't written for angels. It was written knowing that you were going to have scallywags who would want to come along and run the whole show. Am I wrong? You're a lawyer. You were with the Liberty Counsel.
Chris, I think it was the very famous patriot Gloria Gaynor who actually agreed with what you said when she's saying, "I will survive." I think she was right on track with that. And you're right, because look at this country's gone through this time and time again. You know, Jimmy Carter was a disaster, and it took a Ronald Reagan to bring this nation back. Obama has been a disaster, so it's going to take someone like a Trump or a Cruz. And, you know, going into the next hour, just to kind of whet people's appetite for the next hour, I just spent 5 days in South Carolina in Myrtle Beach, not on vacation, not golfing, not on the beach, but I was with Donald Trump and Ted Cruz and Ben Carson and Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum, because the South Carolina Tea Party coalition just had their national convention, about 1,500 people, and boy, do we have a lot to talk about what went on there. It was right at the heart of this whole battle of Trump v. Cruz. Lots of interesting stuff that we can talk about in South Carolina.
Okay, so stick around for that. In the meantime, I want to go to the phone lines. Brian, you are up first. Thank you for calling tonight. Appreciate you being out there.
You're welcome. Thank you for taking the call.
You're quite welcome.
I'm a conservative. I'm a Cruz supporter.
Good.
I just want to let you know where I stand.
Well, that's good. I think that's good. I think he's a good candidate. Let me put it this way. I think he'd be a good man for the job.
And that's really the crux of the reason for the call. I've been in business for many years, and when you have an organization with various departments, you typically will have a fantastic salesperson. Like Donald Trump, to your point earlier, he knows how to sell. But the top salesperson in the company is not the best person to run the company. My issue with Trump is he speaks to the low information voter. He speaks at the fifth grade level. I'm going to do good deals. I'm going to do the right things. I'm going to make America great again. what's the advising group that Trump is going to associate himself with that's really going to be the management of this, because he's the mouthpiece.
Hey, caller, I have a question. I have a Juris Doctor degree, and I've written 3 books. So am I a low-income voter if I like Trump?
No,
low intelligence.
But you just said so. You just said Trump supporters are low-income and low-education voters. So I must be one. That's what you're saying, right?
I said low information.
Am I a low information voter if I like Trump?
I'm not. I'm painting with a large brush.
All right, well, let me
one brush and touch on that.
That's why your argument doesn't work, Brian.
I think that actually, Brian, you are the one who has not seen the whole picture. Okay, you're using that analogy. Let me put it this way: being a good salesman is not all Donald Trump knows how to do. He knows how to run a business. He knows how to be the salesman. He knows how to be the chief executive. He knows how to walk on the properties to see if things are being done properly or not. He started his career following his old man around, Fred. And Fred would do every day. Fred would make the rounds. And what the rounds were was going and visiting all of the construction sites. And because Fred had been a craftsman himself, he knew when a guy was doing a good job or a bad job, or knew what he was doing or didn't, and was given a good price or not. And Donald Trump learned all of these aspects of business beyond salesmanship. He is a natural-born salesman, but he is much more than that. And that's what a lot of people are seeing, rightfully or wrongfully, in his sales package, as it were. Plus, a lot of people have seen him on television. They've heard about him. They've read about him. He's written not a dozen books, but he's written a lot of books. And when you think about The Apprentice wasn't about selling. It was about executing plans and getting things done. So he is much more than a salesman, and I didn't mean to imply that that's all he was. All I'm saying is that in politics, if you are not a good salesman, you're not going to go far. And Harry Truman was, I believe, famous for saying that he was surprised when he got to be the president that he found out that the biggest skill that he would need would be his salesmanship abilities. So even if he were just a salesman, it would still be a great asset for him in the office, because when he finishes selling his ideas to us, he's got to turn around and sell them to Congress. And he knows that. And guess what? He knows how to do it. And you're going to see a lot more big-time dinners being held at the White House with people from Congress being invited over. And it's not going to be the Obama presidency where at 5:30 he goes up and nobody sees him until the next day. Donald Trump is going to be out there. He's going to be pressing flesh with the people who make decisions, and he's going to get decisions made.
Chris, it was exactly the same thing. The same thing was said about Ronald Reagan.
Exactly.
What was he? The great communicator. He's just a big Hollywood actor. We can't take anything he says seriously.
Right.
Look, at this whole thing about someone being a great salesman, that's not an insult. Reagan was selling America. He was the best salesman in the world for the United States of America. So is Donald Trump right now. Those are not bad things to be. Look at whether you're talking about the left or the right. Bill Clinton was a great salesman. So is Obama. So is JFK. So is Ronald Reagan. Whether you're on the left or the right, in order to win, you have to sell yourself and your policies and this nation.
Exactly.
Trump gets that more than any other candidate in the GOP.
Right. And if they would just understand, it's sort of late in the game to become good at this, especially when you're up against somebody who is so very good at it. But that's all you got to do. You know, it's not about having the best plan. It's about having the best presentation of your plan. And that's where I think he's got the edge. You know, I'm happy with either one of them. Don't take me wrong. I'm just explaining why Trump is smoking them. And I believe why he's going to continue to smoke them, because they're lost in the weeds while he's riding the waves. Thanks, Brian, for the call. God bless you. I appreciate you being out there. Don, I don't have enough time to take your call in this hour of the show, because we are now up against a hard break. But if you'll stay with me until the top of the hour, we'll get you on then. Of course, Steve's going to stay with us, and Dr. Juan Torres is going to join us as well. But that doesn't mean you can't as well. 407-774-8255 is the number. Once again, please join us at Legal Immigrants for America. Go to golifa.com or simply text LIFA, L-I-F-A, to 53445. That's L-I-F-A to 53445. golifa.com. Go USA. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Sit right up. Let's go see the elephant!
Welcome back to the show, folks. You're listening to the American Adversaries, or welcome to the show if you're just now tuning us in. Thank you so very, very much for listening to us tonight. We really do appreciate it. All right, we're coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And the phone number is 407-774 if you would like to give us a call. Steve Gushov of Legal Immigrants for America is in studio with us now, and he's going to tell us about what went on in South Carolina this past weekend, and we'll be talking about other immigrant-type things, especially as they apply to this campaign. But real quickly, there's a shocker of a new poll out today conducted by a Florida Atlantic University. Trump, 48, and that's up 12 since November. Ted Cruz, 16, up 6. Rubio is down 7 to 11. Jeb up 1 to 10. But if you take 48 and then add up the next four, he's still in the lead. I mean, it's he's beginning to run away with this thing, at least here in the state of Florida, it looks like, by this poll.
Chris, this is kind of like in Little League, where if you get up 10 to nothing, you know, they just stop the game. That's what this is reaching at this point in Florida. It's 48 to 16. Do you call off the dogs?
We want to see a good drubbing, though, that's for sure. Bob Dole says Bob Dole would take Trump over Ted Cruz.
Bob Dole said that?
Yeah, Bob
good
Dole.
For Bob Dole.
Bob Dole says Bob Dole would, you know how Bob Dole talks about himself in third person? Bob Dole says Bob Dole would take Trump over Ted Cruz. And that now seems to be the common wisdom, if you will, that he's the less of two evils.
Trump has got all the momentum right now. And it's like you were saying before. I mean, Cruz would make a great president. I mean, he really would. And, you know, when we were in South Carolina, we talked with a lot of Cruz supporters up there. But this has been a bad week for Ted Cruz. There's no way around it. And he can't slice it any other way. He did not perform well at the debate.
No.
Trump ate him up on that New York values issue.
Yep.
Trump just got Sarah Palin's support. The governor of Iowa is telling people don't vote for Cruz. Trump, you know, very effectively has put this question mark over Cruz's head about the whole citizenship issue. That's going to be enough just to move people a little bit in Iowa. The Goldman Sachs thing, Cruz has not responded well on that. And Glenn Beck is not going to help him in Iowa. It's that simple.
I don't think so. He might need a little help himself before this is all over. The momentum is definitely with Trump, and Trump is doing this is what my brother calls classic Trump. In other words, he's keeping his opponents sort of off balance.
Correct.
You know, keeping them guessing, if you will. You know, what's he going to do next? You know, he's got Cruz on his heels, and he does this to everybody. And you're absolutely right. Trump ate him up with that New York values thing, and it allowed Trump to look like more the human being, if you
exactly.
will. Exactly. And it made Cruz, you know, it's any time in a debate when your opponent's standing there applauding you, you've won the debate.
The thing that I don't get is that Ted is a brilliant guy. I mean, we're very good friends with Raphael, and you know, and we like Raphael, and Ted, again, would be great if he was president. But, I mean, you could see that coming from a mile away, and Ted fell and walked right into it. As soon as Ted said New York values, anybody with even, you know, one class in Poli Science 101 could say, wait a minute, all Trump has to do is bring up 9/11, and he's going to get all the sympathy. Trump did that, did a great job. How could Ted fall for that? Unbelievable that he booted the ball in that way.
And I would think that it was a kind way to respond to Cruz, because he could have turned around and looked at Cruz and said, well, you don't like New York values, but you sure enough take New York money, don't you?
Well, Cruz was too smart for his own good, because I know what he was trying to say. Wink, wink, New York values, yeah, they're all liberals and so forth.
Right.
Okay, yeah, we get it. But you forgot about the other side of the coin. 9/11. And he let Trump, we were talking about this in South Carolina, because we met many, many Trump leaders, you know, from North Carolina, South Carolina, Georgia, plus us up there from Florida with legal immigrants for Trump. And you know what we were all saying is Donald Trump, I don't know if he plays chess or not in real life, but he is like a master chess player where he sees two or three moves away what his opponent is going to be doing. Let me give you a quick example, Chris. On Saturday, you might have seen this. Trump was speaking in Myrtle Beach, and the audience is about 1,500 people, half Cruz, half Trump. And even the Cruz people were very polite, clapping for Trump. Trump's people clapped for Cruz when he was there. But Trump, at the end, he starts talking about Goldman Sachs and about how Cruz didn't talk about the loan. So the Cruz people start booing, boo, boo Donald Trump and stuff. So afterwards, everybody was like, oh, Trump really booted it. He never should have said that. He should have quit while he was ahead. I said, are you kidding me? He did that intentionally. He knew exactly what he was doing. What does he care if a few Ted Cruz supporters boo him? He's not paying any attention to them. He is paying attention to the millions of people that are watching on Fox News, CNN, everywhere else. He needs to get that message out that Ted Cruz says that he's an outsider, but he's taken a $750,000 loan from Goldman Sachs. And even if it was nothing more than not filing one single piece of paper by Ted Cruz, and Cruz could be right on that, it just looks bad. It's a bad look. Yeah. And politics is all about timing and all about perception. And so the citizenship issue and the Goldman Sachs issues, not good looks for Ted Cruz 12 days or whatever it is before Iowa.
And sometimes boos work to your advantage.
He worked it perfectly.
He was working the crowd.
Like a fiddle.
They call this in professional wrestling, working the crowd.
Exactly.
You get them cheering or booing, it doesn't matter. You got them in the palm of your hand.
As long as they react.
Exactly.
As long as they react.
He knew exactly what he was doing. You're so right. Don is up on the phone line. Don, thank you for your patience. I appreciate you holding. Thanks for being out there.
Hey.
Howdy.
Couple points. Number one, anybody doesn't think Barack Obama's not a great salesman. He sold America the biggest load of fertilizer.
He's a great salesman. You're right.
He sold us more
BS. That's what got him elected.
He bought and paid for it.
That's right. That's
all he can do.
That's all. That's unfortunately for us. Right.
Don, remember, you know, a good salesman doesn't just make the sale, but he delivers the goods. That's the difference between a good salesman and a bad salesman. Obama just, you know, tried to sell us a load of goods, but he hasn't delivered anything. Hope and change has been, there's no hope, and we're waiting for change right now.
Yeah, well, he actually delivered for the liberals, though.
Yeah, with his cell phone and his pen.
Right. You know,
he delivered just the opposite of what he said he was.
Yeah, so in that sense,
he's bait and switch.
Irregardless.
Yeah, go ahead, though. Yeah, go ahead.
Everybody has to realize, and you made a good point, Trump is going to make deals with the best and brightest and smartest people he can come across to get this country back on track. What the Democrats and the establishment is so irate about is they've already made their deals. I like Ted Cruz. Don't get me wrong. He'd make a fine president. But even Ted is bought and paid for by somebody. Now, they may give him a little more rope, give him a little more to say in what his platform would be, but he is not self-supporting in this run.
You know, you're right, and I want to go back to what Jerry Shepard, when he called last night, what Trump brings is an entirely different mindset. Cruz, is as great as he is, a conservative and a constitutionalist, he's still got that Washington mindset, sort of. I know he talks about the Washington cartel and all that, but you're right. He's still playing that game. He's still getting appealing to the big money donors. Yeah, he gets a lot of small donors, but he's going after those big money dollars too. And yeah, he's tied to Goldman Sachs. He's right there in it with all of them. He doesn't have the real new perspective that
we
want.
He's in the middle of the mix.
He's in the middle of the mix. And as good of a guy that he is, he's still in the middle of the mix.
And that's what is so appealing about Trump for so many people, because he doesn't need anybody else's money. He doesn't need the Koch brothers. He doesn't need Sheldon Adelson. He doesn't need Goldman Sachs. He's self-funding. He's not at the mercy of the PACs. He's not a puppet on a string or a marionette. And so many people said this to us when we were in South Carolina, where even Cruz people admitted that that is a huge appeal for Donald Trump. He's his own man. It's his own money. He doesn't need anybody else. And that's what's driving the Republican National Committee crazy. They can't control him.
Because he doesn't need them.
Exactly. And that's a dangerous place to be.
Absolutely. Hey, thanks for the call. We appreciate being out there. Great points. By the way, you can be a part of the show, too, 407-774-8255. Dr. Juan Torres is going to join us in a minute. But South Carolina, tell us more.
Oh, it was huge. And for people that aren't aware of what it was, is the South Carolina Tea Party Coalition had their annual convention this past weekend. They always have it on Martin Luther King Day weekend in Myrtle Beach. First time I was ever in Myrtle Beach. Very, very nice up there. They had about 1,500 people in attendance from all over the country, and they had five of the candidates were there. Trump, Cruz, Huckabee, Santorum, and Ben Carson all spoke. All did very well. I mean, Huckabee, Santorum, they're down at 1% or 2% or whatever. But you know what? They're right on all the issues, basically. You know, if they were the nominee, I'd be happy to support, you know, any of those guys. Carson gave a great speech as well. But, you know, Trump just, he worked the room. He's just a master. And you know, Cruz did very, very well, too. And the crowd was basically split between those two. You had, you know, about 50% for Trump, 50% for Cruz. But there seemed to be just a tad more energy among the Trump supporters because it's like the momentum was working in their favor. And like I just said before, Cruz has had a tough week. He did not do well at the debate. I mean, even Marco was beating him up a little bit. And I was surprised that he let Marco get away with that. But Palin comes in now. She supports Trump. We knew about that for about a month that was coming. The governor of Iowa telling Iowans, don't vote for Cruz, and the whole citizenship issue, Goldman Sachs, those were major, major issues among all these Tea Party patriots, all 1,500 of them, at the event. And so it was great to see so many conservatives in one place talking about this upcoming election and really seeing how it's come down to these two guys, Trump and Cruz, and that's it. Everybody else might as well get out at this point. There's lots of great people. You know, Santorum and Huckabee and Carson, they'd all be perfect for a cabinet position. Carson will be a great Surgeon General someday, but it's coming down to Trump and Cruz, and Trump, in my opinion, his momentum is going slightly up, Cruz is going slightly down. And if Trump wins Iowa, I think he runs the table at that point. I really do.
Yeah, I think you're right. As far as the event this past weekend went, there was no straw poll or anything like that, was there?
No straw poll. You know, anecdotally, I can tell you that if you did take one, just in terms of people that I was talking to, again, you would have had Trump slightly ahead of Cruz. It would have been those two, you know, and everybody else is just, you know, is fighting for a bronze medal at this
well,
point.
You know, in terms of if all the others did get out, there's polling out there that shows that would actually advantage Cruz. Now, that could change.
I don't think it really would. I really don't.
You think the momentum is enough going the other way now?
Yeah, I think, you know, what it is there's just momentum building towards Trump and away from Cruz. You know, they timed the Palin endorsement perfectly to release it just a couple weeks before
Iowa. That's what I'm saying.
For exactly that reason. Doesn't do any good to do that Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that's it. And that, like you say, he's playing this like a chess grandmaster.
Yeah.
And the rest of these guys are playing checkers. All right, don't go away. We'll take a break. When we come back, we have Dr. Juan Torres on the line and some other callers. If you'd like to join us as well, please do. 407-774-8255. You are listening to the finest drive time primetime show in all of Central Florida, and that would, of course, be little old us, the American Adversaries. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you are in the right place. So just sit back and enjoy the conversation, or join it if you are so inspired. 407-774-8255. Steve Gushoff of the Legal Immigrants for America is with us, as well as Dr. Juan Torres. But we have a caller on the line, so we'll go to him first and then come back to these guys. Al, thank you for calling. Your thoughts on Donald and Ted?
I don't care about Ted. He's a clown.
Well, there are
Donald.
Send in the clowns.
But how do you really feel, Al?
Yeah. Go ahead, though. Go ahead. Yeah.
But Donald Trump, he's a smart guy because he's taken the some of the plays from Bernie Sanders, you know, the Goldman Sachs strategy, which is very smart on his part.
Well, I think somebody called the show the other day, and I think that they or someone was on the show the other night and said that they both are pointing out a lot of the same issues, but their solutions are just entirely
from different sides of the spectrum. I mean,
exactly.
Al is actually right, yeah. But it's been effective. It's been effective.
Yeah, it is. Go ahead, though. Yeah. Is that your point?
Was
that
I was listening to Gallagher this morning.
Good.
And he had a guest on there with a list of things that's wrong with Trump, and it's unconventional to the conservative party.
Right.
And And it kind of, you know, makes me second-guess the base, because I think you guys are really desperate at this point, considering that the past two elections, you know, was complete failure.
Wait a minute. Al, who are you supporting? If you could have anyone be the next president.
I'm Bernie Sanders all the way.
All right, Bernie Sanders, and you're calling other people desperate at this point? Are you kidding me, man? I mean, come on.
Democrats are showing their own sort of desperation, aren't they?
I mean, it's the same thing with the Democrats,
well,
my friend.
But look at this. And more and more people are beginning to notice this. We've been talking about it for a while. But Donald Trump's strength is not just in the Republican Party. He can bring in Democrats. He'll bring in moderates, because at the end of the day, people are sick and tired of the state of the, what is it, 70% of the people think we're going in the wrong direction and have thought
exactly.
This for years now. They want something radically different, and this is the guy that people figure can deliver.
Al, let me tell you something. You're a Bernie Sanders guy. That's fine. That's your prerogative. But it's like, if Trump is the Republican nominee, Trump's going to win Vermont and New York both. That's where Bernie and Hillary are from, because he is drawing right now not just Republicans, but Democrats and independents. And the number of Democrats and independents in Florida, for instance, right now, who are re-registering as Republicans so that they can vote for Trump in the primary on March 15th is incredible, because February 16th is the deadline. February 16th is the 16th, deadline for people to register with the Republican Party if they want to vote for Trump or for anybody else for the March 15th primary. And we're seeing a lot of that right now. So you get people crossing over. If people are going to cross over in a primary to vote for this guy, to vote for Trump, you know they're going to vote for him in November as well. That's a huge problem for the Democrats, because who's going to cross over to vote for Hillary or Bernie from the Republican Party? Jeb Bush. That's about it.
Yeah, that's right.
That's not true. That's not true, because I've come across a lot of Republicans who are fed up with the Republicans because of the past two elections. And
you're right, Al. You're absolutely
right now.
Al, you're absolutely right, but see, here's the thing. The Republicans that are fed up with the Republican Party are people like me, Al, who are conservative and see the Republican Party going to the left. So you're right when you say you meet people fed up with the Republican Party, but 0%, 0.0% of those people are ever going to vote Democratic. They're going to go with Trump if he winds up running as an independent or as a Reform Party candidate, or they will write him in. They're not voting for Hillary or Bernie in a million years, my friend. But you're right when you say they're disgusting with the Republican Party, but not because they're going to go Democrat.
Yep.
They just will go more conservative.
Yep. Al, thanks again. Appreciate you being out there. I'm looking forward to your contest entry tomorrow night. We'll talk more about the contest rules later on, but we do have Dr. Juan Torres on the line with us now. Dr. Torres, thanks for being out there.
Anytime. Thanks. Thank you very much.
Well, I know you didn't go to the summit in South Carolina this year, but I understand you've been to these things before.
Yeah, it's a great event, one of the best conservative Tea Party events in the country every year, usually in Merrill Beach. And I couldn't go because I was working and very busy. But it's a good, very good event to see what's going on in the country. And I was listening to Steve Gush about it. He was right, you know, very much the two people that signed there were Ted Cruz and Donald Trump, which I think at this point, you know, very much is going to be decided between, you know, either one. My point here is that when people forget something. The number one issue that brought Donald Trump to the top of the position was immigration. You know, if you remember the first weeks when he was running, you know, when he announced that he's going to run for president, immigration was very much the only topic that he was talking about. And he was absolutely right, because immigration is a national security issue. It's a national deficit issue. It's a health issue. It doesn't matter how we look at it. You know, this is a very serious issue that people need to pay attention. I know both Ted Cruz and Donald Trump very much have, I would say, are the only candidates that defend legal immigration in this country. And that's why people usually, you know, are inclined to vote for either Trump or Cruz.
Yeah,
that's the reality.
I think you're absolutely right. I got to take a break, but stay with us, Dr. Torres.
Sure.
I think you're absolutely right, because it goes to the heart of protecting the nation.
Exactly.
Right? It's like the nation is under siege, and people aren't comfortable with that.
They're all interlinked. Exactly.
They want it stopped. They've had enough of it. They just want it stopped. And the people who can convince them, the person that convinced them that they'll stop it, they got a ticket to the White House.
Next president.
That's all right. All right, but we got to take another break. When we come back on the other side, you can join us as well. 407-774-8255.
AM 660. The Answer.
Yes, this is me, Brian Blair, the Killer Bee, and I'm tired of those sticky liberal lies. That's why I tune in to the American Adversaries, where you get nothing but the truth. So don't get stung. Listen to AM 660, The Answer.
That's right. We're live in the hive tonight, folks. Welcome back. 1 year.
1 year from today, Chris. What happens January 20th, 2017?
We get a new man.
Hopefully, yeah, yeah.
Or gal.
Well, unless it's Carly Fiorina.
Exactly.
I don't want the other one.
Yeah, exactly right. Maybe Sarah Palin.
Oh, hey, I'd vote for her in a heartbeat. Or how about just a Trump-Palin ticket?
Hey,
you know,
it's not
put her
beyond,
on his Veep.
Not beyond the realm of possibility, but I'm here. Still here to say it's not beyond the realm of possibility to have a Trump-Cruz ticket.
It's an awesome ticket. It's like, yeah. It's funny because, you know, Trump is funny. I mean, he's working both sides of the street. On one hand, he's been brilliant by raising the citizenship issue and putting that question mark over Cruz's head.
Yeah.
That has dropped Cruz somewhat in the poll numbers. And to do it 2 weeks before Iowa, perfect strategy is
right.
What it is. But at the same time, I'm sure that Trump is having his own guys, you know, figuring this out. It's like, if I decide I want to, you know, take on Ted as VP, am I okay to do that or not? Because
right.
That's a dream ticket in many, many ways.
Right.
You'll get out the evangelicals, the social conservatives,
yep.
The Tea Party types who did not come out for McCain in 08 or Romney in 12. They'll come out for a Trump-Cruz ticket big time.
Yep. And it would be the establishment's worst nightmare.
Worst nightmare.
They think their worst nightmare is one or the other guy.
Exactly.
How about we give them both?
Well, you know what? I want to see, you know, I mean, back over the summer when the establishment was going crazy saying, oh, Trump's going to sign this loyalty oath. Okay, let's say it is a Trump-Cruz ticket. I want to see Jeb Bush and John Kasich and Lindsey Graham and George Pataki and the rest of those rhinos out there campaigning as hard as they can for a Trump-Cruz ticket because they said, boy, Trump and Cruz had better, you know, support whoever the Republican is. Are they going to work just as hard? They better. They ought to get kicked out of the party themselves.
All right. We still have Dr. Juan Torres on the phone line. Right. Before we go any further, Dr. Torres, what did you think about what we just said?
You know, I agree. That would be a dream ticket. You know, I don't agree with the previous caller say something about Ted Cruz is a clown. You know, I think that these two candidates are brilliant. You know, nobody's perfect, let's be honest. You know,
right.
Donald Trump has some liberal background, and which I don't think that you can accuse Ted Cruz too much about it, you know, or almost nothing very much. But the bottom line is this, you know, the reason why these two guys are, you know, number one and number two in every single poll is because people are very much tired from the Obama failure. They are tired from the Republican establishment, and they are really, really, you know, disappointed from the deception of many politicians in D.C. And these are the only candidates, again, that they were always very firm about illegal immigration. You know,
yeah.
A new report just came out just recently that showed, actually, that this was from the government, and showed that the Department of Homeland Security revealed a report that showed that more than 500,000 people overstayed visas in 2015. Can you imagine? That's only 2015. And that was only B1, B2, B5, and the visa waiver program. You know, you add, if the B1 is the business visa, the B2 is the pleasure visa, and the visa waiver program. If you add the J visa program, the H visa program, and many others, we have no clue how many illegal immigrants are in this country. We have no clue, really. Well, now, I've been following this for a long time. And when the second boost ended his period, there were almost 20 million illegal immigrants living in this country. So this idea that we have 12 million now is really, you know.
Oh, that's only half the number. I mean, Ann Coulter, in her book, Adios America, which is a wonderful book, everyone should read that, believes the number is 30 million. And Juan is right, because the government also admitted they have no idea where these people are. They don't know how many are out there or where they are. And people can read more about this information at golifa.com. golifa.com, because we're seeing this all the time. And even when I was up in Myrtle Beach, that's the number one issue. Immigration, legal immigration and illegal immigration are interlinked with everything else. It's interlinked with jobs, with the economy, with national security. You look at what happened in Paris. You look at what happened in San Bernardino. Look at the cop in Philadelphia. This is all related to immigration, legal and illegal immigration issues, and people see it related to security. That's why I look at the last debate. When Jeb was, you know, very pathetically trying to pound on Trump about the whole ban the Muslims thing. And legal immigrants from America, even before Trump came out with his ban Muslim immigration policy, we already had articles about that on our website. People can read them on the website. And Trump said, look, this is a national security issue. This has nothing to do with religion. This has to do with protecting Americans. That's another reason why he is so far out ahead in the polls, because he gets it immigration, legal immigration, illegal immigration, ending the Syrian refugee program, because we know that terrorists are hiding out in there just as they did when they attacked in Paris. Trump gets this better than anyone else, and that's why he's ahead.
You know, Steve, when it comes to illegal immigration, no country in the world beats the United States.
Exactly.
This is the only country. This is the only country in the world. And I can tell you, you know, I was born in Latin America and have many friends from Latin America. And they sometimes they laugh about it. No country in the world, you know, disrespects its own immigration laws as the United States. This is not just people that do not endorse the law. The Democratic Party actually endorsed and protect illegal immigration. Not too long ago, Governor Brown from California signed an executive order allowing illegal immigrants to vote. Can you imagine a Mexican governor signing an executive order allowing American illegal immigrants living in Mexico to vote?
Juan, I would like to go to any other country on this planet and say, hey, I'd like to vote in your presidential election. Oh, I'm not a citizen, by the way. I just want to vote.
Not likely it's going to happen. You probably end up in jail. And what Dr. Torres is talking about is there's a new motor voter registration law in California where, and of course, illegals now can, thanks to Jerry Brown, get driver's licenses. So once anybody who registered to get, excuse me, anyone who gets a driver's license is automatically registered to vote.
Yeah.
And then it's, but then it's up to the state to try to figure out who can and can't vote. And of course, you know what's going to happen.
It's just chaos at that point.
Right. Exactly. It's chaos.
It was specifically designed to allow these people to vote. Now, keep in mind that in the U.S., 12 states, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Illinois, I think in New Vermont, Washington, I don't remember the rest, I think Nevada, but 12 states in the U.S., as we speak, allow illegal immigrants to obtain driver's licenses. And you know that when you go to vote many times, I have seen this, we all see this all the time. When you go to vote, the only thing they ask you is for the driver's license. When you have 12 states in the entire country that illegals can hold a driver's license, of course they can go to vote. You know, and fraud, electoral fraud will be, again, a huge issue this coming year.
That's the slippery slope, because you're right, because usually it's a large state like California with Governor Moonbeam in charge there, and so you think, like, yeah, it's California, they're going to do that. But again, if other states are already allowing illegal immigrants to get a driver's license, then registration to vote is the next step. We have a lot of information about this on golifa.com that people can read about, but Juan is exactly right, because this is where it starts. And, you know, the Democrats are not stupid. I mean, they're godless, but they're not stupid in terms of they know that this is their way of trying to attract 30 million new voters to the Democratic Party.
Right, right. Dr. Torres, you mentioned you have friends still in Latin America, in Central America, South America.
I do. I do, actually, because of my career and my background coming from there. I know a lot of people from Latin America here in Central Florida.
What do they think about this presidential election going on here? What do they tell you?
Well, you know, Hispanics is a different issue. To be honest, without some I don't want to sound very quick, but there is a very good number of Hispanics. They are not well informed about what's going on in America right now. You know, they are waking up, they are reading more, they're paying more attention than before. But I think that we make a mistake, you know, not paying attention to the Hispanic vote. Keep in mind that on the last presidential election, there were 24 million Hispanics registered to vote. Only half of them voted. How many will be this time? We don't know. How many of those people that have driver licenses are going to be able to vote? So I think the Hispanic vote is a very, very big, crucial in order to win or to lose elections. And many Hispanics, to be honest, they don't agree with the current policy, and for a lot of variety of reasons. The standard of living of Hispanics dropped remarkably during the Obama administration, and also for Black people and other minorities. And they are here to take opportunities of the country, you know, to improve their standard of living. And they didn't see that. But I think that the problem is that we have a so corrupt and biased media that the right information doesn't get to them.
Well, the one thing that we keep seeing at Legal Immigrants for America is that it's the legal immigrants, many of whom are Hispanic, who are the ones most opposed to illegal immigration, because they say, hey, we played by the rules, whether you're talking about Juan or Pola or any of our other friends and supporters. They say, we played by the rules. We stood in line sometimes for decades to become a citizen. We paid sometimes tens of thousands of dollars in application fees and legal fees.
Right.
We started businesses. We became a doctor like Juan did. We hired Americans, paid taxes. We bettered this nation and its economy. And we're the ones most opposed to the illegals coming in, jumping to the head of the line, getting cell phones and Obamacare and free in-state tuition, driver's licenses, and everything else. Exactly. They're the ones most opposed. And that's why legal immigrants need to be activated and activists in this election, like Juan says.
Yeah. Right now, I have friends waiting to get the papers in order to legalize the immigration status for 5-10 years. Can you believe that? And they tell me this, you know, hey, Juan, you know, what's going on here? You know, I am waiting 5 years. I spent thousands of dollars in a lawyer. But anybody can come here illegally, and the next day, guess what? You know, you get everything you need.
Yeah.
You know,
Hey, Juan, a little piece of advice for those people. Just tell them when they come across the border to say that they're Syrian and Muslim. Right away, baby. Yeah. They're getting in right away.
They'll take good care of them. Yep, you're right.
And the court is amazing. You know, in the United States spent about $12 billion in educating the children of illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
You know, if we legalize
per year.
If we legalize all the illegal immigrants in the U.S., guess how much it will cost? It will cost the national deficit of the U.S. for about 200 years. You know, the cost is no less than $6 trillion.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, so this is a huge problem, but people don't understand that the more they support illegal immigration, the more they will pay the price for.
All right. Dr. Torres, I got to let you go, but thanks for being with us tonight. Very informative.
Anytime.
Okay, we'll talk to you again in the near future. You were going to say, Steve.
I was going to say, you know, what Juan is saying is so true, and you know what's ironic about this is guess who's number one in the polls among Hispanics in GOP polls?
Trump.
The guy that everyone's saying, oh, but he's bashing Mexicans and he hates Mexicans and Hispanics and Latinos. Huh, ironically, among legal immigrants, number one in the polls. Not even close.
And I think there's a couple of reasons why. First of all, legal immigrants did go about it the right way. And it's,
exactly.
And it takes time and it takes effort.
That's the rules, man. Yeah.
But I believe also, see, we take what we have for granted because we've always had it, right? It's like living in Disneyland or Disney World, right?
Yeah.
I mean, our streets are clean and all that stuff. The lights come on at night. But they've been in, many of these folks have come from places where that is not the case. And they see that if we allow enough illegal immigrants to come into this country, we're going to jeopardize why they came here.
America becomes a third world nation.
Exactly.
At that point.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard legal immigrants say, I came here to get away from what the United States is becoming.
Well, Paula Hansberger says that. She's the founder of Legal Immigrants for America, and she is from Nicaragua. So she had to flee the Sandinistas, a Marxist regime, and she said, I've lost one country. I don't want to lose another. Legal immigrants, Chris, this is amazing. Legal immigrants, whether they're from Nicaragua or, you know, Cuba or Vietnam or China, people that have lived and escaped totalitarian regimes, they get it better than most Native American citizens do because they've suffered through it and don't want to see America suffer the same fate.
And we tend to take it for granted.
Exactly.
All right, Frank, thank you for calling tonight. You are up next, sir.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Excellent. Thank you.
Tell you why Trump's going to win in a landslide. I'm going to go back to Romney for a minute. You know, I hear a lot of analysis of why Romney lost. I'm going to tell you why Romney. You want to know why Romney lost?
Tell us.
This is the reason and the only reason. It was because too many people that did not know any better saw him as the evil rich guy.
Obama was effective in painting him that way. You're right, Frank.
Sure. And
Romney didn't fight back effectively.
No.
That's the thing. See, he was too modest and too humble and frankly too stupid because if he would have confidence, he has done a lot of incredible things for a lot of people. And he should have put that front and center the whole time. See, now Donald's not that stupid. And Donald Trump is.
Or that modest.
Yeah, thank you. He's not. That's not his long suit, right?
Right. Correct.
So I believe that he is smart enough to the people that he has, he's done a lot of incredible things for a lot of little people. And those people are going to be front and center. And I'm going to tell you who that's going to attract more than anybody else is millennials.
Yeah, I agree. And the millennials see him on TV. America will vote for a celebrity. I mean, you know, everyone.
There's that. But there's also the people don't really know the kind of guy Donald Trump is. The man's never had a drink in his life. He's a Democrat nightmare because they can't find a way to attack him because his life's been an open book and there's no dirt there. You know what I'm saying?
That's right. Yeah. The fact that it's an open book helps him.
I was talking to someone about that today. They were asking me, do you think there's something out there? I said, we know.
It would have come out by now.
The worst thing is the Marla Maples thing. And we've all sort of been through those things, whether it's divorce.
Well, and Hillary's not going to bring that up, is she?
Trump is just waiting and hoping she does, right?
Yeah. You combine the name recognition, and if he runs a campaign, smart campaign, and he lets people know the kind of character, his people let people know what kind of guy Donald is, and all these people that he's helped, and they forget about it, man.
Well,
it's over.
I think you're absolutely right. That, and by the way, that's what Jerry Falwell Jr. said the other night.
Exactly.
My goodness, that was so great.
It was a great testimonial for Donald Trump. Hey, that was a great phone call, Frank. Thanks for being out there.
All right. Take care.
You do the same. God bless you. We got to take a break. When we come back, we're going to hear about Steve Gushaw's interview with the Huffington Post.
What?
You got to be kidding me. We're not. It did happen, and Steve's going to tell us all about it. So please stay with us. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show with you for a few more minutes. Steve Gushaw is here. Of course, he's with Legal Immigrants for America, and they were, of course, as he was telling us earlier, at Myrtle Beach this past weekend for the big Tea Party conference, and you ended up getting Interviewed by Huffington Post?
So there I was, Chris. Donald Trump had just finished speaking, so I'm walking out of the auditorium, and this woman comes up to me, sticks a microphone in my face, sticks a camera in my face, and says, hey, will you appear on camera for an interview? And I say, sure. I give her my card. It's like, you know, as long as you spell the name right, right?
Sure.
You know, and so I said, by the way, I said, who are you with? She says, the Huffington Post. I said, what? I almost fell over. I said, the Huffington Post? Yeah. I said, don't you know where you are? Bernie Sanders isn't speaking here today. Hillary's not speaking. This is Tea Party Group.
Uh-huh.
This is a Tea Party Group. And so she just kind of laughed, and she asked me all sorts of questions about the candidates, about Trump, about Cruz, about immigration issues, etc. Who knows what they did with it? It's the Huffington Post. They could have done nothing. They could have given them, you know, 3 seconds worth of time. They could have spliced it and diced it a million different ways. But the mere fact that the Huffington Post was at the Tea Party convention in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, was kind of hilarious. But I think they're just following Trump from place to place because he's such a huge story. They tried to ignore him at first over the summer. They weren't going to cover him. Can't do it now. If you want people to come to your website, you got to start following Trump. And I encourage people to come to our website, too. Join us at Legal Immigrants for America. Visit www.golifa.com. That's GOLIFA.com. Support LIFA today. We're a nonprofit group, and so we rely on donations from supporters. And so we appreciate very, very much if you go online, read our articles, watch our videos, and you can make an online donation right there. Again, at www.golifa.com, GOLIFA.com. And for immigration updates, text LIFA, LIFA, to 53445. And again, that's text LIFA to 53445 for immigration updates. And visit golifa.com for anything and everything about legal and illegal immigration issues. We get a great article coming out within the next 24 hours about Theodore Roosevelt and what he had to say about immigration and how he was very much in favor of pro-legal immigration and making sure that immigrants assimilated to American culture. Great article.
Absolutely. I've used a couple of his quotes on Sunday nights for our contest. He said, we love immigrants, but you got to come here to be Americans.
Be American, speak the language.
That's right.
Yep. TR was right on.
One language.
Yeah, TR would have been a supporter of Legal Immigrants for America.
So, folks, please join and tell your friends about LIFA. And you don't have to be a legal immigrant or an immigrant at all, but please, if you do have immigrant friends, tell them about LIFA. They need to be a part of this organization because this is a voice in particular for them, but actually for all of us.
Exactly.
Because we are all, you know, subject to the ills of illegal immigration
or
illegal entrance.
Illegal
Next time
entrance.
You're on the show, we need to talk about changing it from illegal immigrants to illegal entrance so that we don't give them any of the positive connotations that go along with the word immigrant.
I can remember, Chris, just to show how old you and I are, I can remember when Genesis was around back in the late 70s, early 80s. They had a song, yeah. It's No Fun Being an Illegal Alien.
That's right. That's right. I remember that song.
That might have to be our theme song. You might have to find that one.
Yes, that's right. We'll use that for the LIFA theme music. Earlier today, or I guess maybe last night, the Coast Guard announced that they've called off the search for the 12 Marines who were killed in a training accident off the coast of Hawaii. Two helicopters evidently collided in some fashion. They have found some bit of wreckage. They found a few life rafts, but evidently they have not found any of the remains, now we assume, of these 12 great patriotic Americans. And oftentimes, of course, we think about our soldiers and our Marines who are killed in action, but in reality, even when they're in training, they're in action. And it can be very dangerous, especially for the skill levels that these guys are going after. So in a tribute to these 12 Marines and all military personnel and first responders who protect us day and night, put their lives on the line constantly for us, and dedicate their lives to us, we're going to play the Marine Corps hymn going out of the show tonight. So please, once again, keep those Marines and all of our great military people in your prayers. And once again, please join LIFA at golifa.com. Or text LIFA to 53445. Great job tonight, Steve. Thanks for being with us.
Always a privilege.
All right. So don't forget our contest tomorrow. That's right. Our boutique, our fashion boutique contest. Get those entries together. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. I guarantee it. Night, everybody.